What's that? Okay. We left off, I think we had learned the first se'if of Simun Kufpehe. So let's go on to the base. We have hooks the need of Shechino Seha, Shevra'uha lo veshes begadah, v'yichodah v'meyu yusah. If she is becheskes nida in the eyes of her neighbors, because everyone saw her wearing special nida clothing. Chashuva kevadai te'meyah. That's considered vadai Torah. Okay, that's so far. Seems to be fairly straightforward. The main chiddush, no, why not? The main chiddush is going to be in the next if. Amra lebala tmeani, v'acharkach amra tehorani, eino nemenes, imulach v'deidiba. Right? So if she tells her, says she didn't need it, then retracts, she cannot retract after a tok v'deidiba. Him nasla amasla l'dvareha, no tremeris lo amra lo kentchila v'neish lo hayeba, koch lispol tashma shaltayna acheres ke yotzbezen nemenes. But if she gives an excuse, like she explains, the only reason she lied was because she wasn't feeling up to tashmish. And I guess in those days, like, the women were, like, intimidated to tell their husbands that they weren't feeling up to tashmish. So instead, they made the excuse of being a nida. Or, you know, other examples that they bring, like she said, oh, like, you know, someone was around, your sister or whatever, and I was embarrassed to be mishamish when they're, you know, in the next room. So if she makes an excuse, then it is okay, then she's believed. With an amasla, you're allowed to revoke your isser, even though we say shavya nafshi chatiru di sura, that if someone says something is asur to themselves, they are believed 100%, but with an excuse, you can undermine that. The lemaisa, I haven't heard a lot of shaylos about this nowadays. I think in the modern day world, there's a little more open communication, and it's less common that a woman will lie to her husband and say she's a nida when she's not. So these shaylos don't really come up. The only thing that's not really shaylos, that's sort of close to what might be, is the Shach mentions of Kut and Gimel. An example where her amasla was not, you know, some awkward lying to her husband, she was uncomfortable, but she made a mistake. That's something that could happen nowadays. The woman says she's a nida, and then she says to her husband, oh, I made a mistake. You know, I thought I was a nida, but then I asked a shayla and turned out I wasn't, but then, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's a very good amasla if she made an honest mistake that the Shach mentions, which I guess the closest that we would have to that case. I mean, you never know, but the closest that we have to that case that I've seen nowadays is very often someone makes a mistake, so if they explain the mistake, that's an amasla. And the Ramah, we call Malkum Mishabot Lahakra Lashra Lahamla Midas Chasidusuf. If the husband wants to lift the Mishra Sadin, not believe his wife, then that's a Midas Chasidus, to be Machra and Isser Nida. Okay, one has to apply this with common sense to understand the implications of the relationship between the husband and wife. So one should use one's common sense. Avomidin and Emenis. Okay, but Alpidin, she's believed in Amasla. Afilo, here's a big Kiddush that he quotes in the Mari while. Afilo b'shaska acharkach, raki bov sho cheves etzel ba'alov, hu yodea makar, shema sho'amar tchil zmeh, ni osa machus tata shayu ima, bechado melazeh. Says the Ramah big kula, even if she doesn't say any Amasla, she just comes and sleeps next to him. And he knows, he figures out, that when she said she was nida before him, it was just because she was in a fight with him. And he could, like, tell, because he's married to her a long time, and he knows how these things work. So all she does is a maisa that implies an amasla, says, Ramah, that is good enough. Now, this is a big chiddush. Remember, we paskin already, like the Orcha Shulchan and others against the Chabas Das, that if he just left her, you know, when she was Tmeya, or when it was her Veses, and then she comes and sleeps next to him, that's okay. That's saying that she's Tahora now. But that's when you don't need an amasla over here. You need to undo her original statement. She said explicitly, I am a nida right now. 2 hours later, she comes and sleeps next to him. She has to undo her original statement with an amasla. So the Ramah is a big kula. A maisa that implies she's tahora counts as an amasla. That the achronim are very uncomfortable with. They say that's going too far, really. To undermine her statement with an amasla, it should be enough to just sleep next to him? No, for an amasla, she needs to mamish say something. And therefore, the Shach here quotes the Bach and says that, no, and says even the Ramah didn't mean it. It sounds from the Ramah like he means it. They said the Mari Wild didn't really say that. Maybe the Ramah just means he doesn't have to jump out of bed like he saw a ghost. But he has to feed, but she's still forbidden to him until he asks her, well, why did you say you were in Nida beforehand? And she says the Amasla explicitly. So we paskin not like this Ramah sounds. We paskin like the Shach, who says that's also what the Ramah meant. That it's not enough, an implication is not enough to be an Amasla. The Amasla has to be explicit, because to undermine your previous Dibur, you have to give a clear explanation of why you did it and not just imply it. Okay. Again, it doesn't come up a ton nowadays. Another interesting thing that comes up here is the end of the Mechaber. But if we see that she wears her special Nida clothing, and then she says she's really not a Nida, even if she gives an excuse, she's not believed even with an excuse. Well, I think we're in Ksubas. The Mishnah Ksubas talks about how the husband can divorce his wife without a ksuba, if she violates this, she's mashal of Mr. Nida. Whereas, well, how does he know that she's really a Nida? If she said she's a Nida, he shouldn't have slept with her. If she says she's not a Nida, then she's believed. The answer is, she said she wasn't a Nida, and then he found out that she really was. How did he know she really was? Because, all the neighbors saw her wearing her Nida clothes. So, the Madaif there, well, if she could just make an excuse, then why does she get divorced? Obviously, we see that when she wears her Nida clothes, she can't make an excuse. She's not believed to make an excuse. And that's a Mipaskin, that if she says to me on me an excuse called an Amasla works, if she wears her Nida clothes, then it doesn't work. Why is it worse if she wears her Nida clothes? So here, we have a few different explanations. The Shach, and the Shut Ramah, quote from the Beis Yosef, quote from the Rashba, they say it is a psychological thing. A person who needs to lie will do the minimum lying. Dibur is less than maaseh. Therefore, if she says, I spoke to Me'ani, but it was a lie because of this reason, that's a valid explanation, because we say we understand why you had to do that. But if she says, I wore Nida clothes, we say, that's not a good explanation. Because if you just needed to say you're a Nida for some reason, it would have been enough to speak. Why do you have to do a Maisa? And it's not logical that she would have to do a Maisa.
What if there was an Amasa Dafka for clothing?
And then, if there's an Amasa Dafka for clothing, it would work. But most of these Amaslas are not. Like, what are the classic Amaslas? She was in a fight with her husband. She didn't have koach for Tashmish.
Yeah,
she was embarrassed because, what's the case, his mother or sister was next door, and she was embarrassed of being overheard. So all those things would be enough to speak. Why does she have to wear clothing? You know, the spur of the moment kind of thing. She just needs to come up with something. She says, I'm a Nida. But why does she have to change her clothing? So unless you have a good explanation, like that, you know, weird case in the Shud Ramah, then it would not work. So let's just put this on the board here. Why is Eina Menes Me'amasla Im Lovsha Big Day Nida? So says the Rashba, and from here in the Beis Yosef, and the Shach, quoting the Shut Ramah, says because it's not logical that she would do a Maisa when a Dibur would be enough to accomplish her goal. She just needed to get out of Tashmish for one day. Then a Dibur would have been enough. It's not. So therefore, her Amasla is not logical. When her Amasla doesn't make sense, then we don't accept it.
It's not really a good enough lie unless you put on the Nida clothes.
Why?
Because, oh, you're a Nida, so why are you wearing Nida clothing?
Yeah, she just became a Nida. She doesn't have a chance to change her clothes.
She's selling it. She's selling it.
Right. What? Okay.
It's just a good Lemaisa, look,
that's what the Ramah says. The Ramah says, Lemaisa, we have to look at the circumstance. If it was a good Amasla, then it's a good Amasla. We'd have to hear if the Amasla justifies it.
The Ramah says, she's
he never saw her in the Nita clothing. So is it that much of a Maisa if she wouldn't wear it in front of him? If she didn't wear it
in the case of Tsubas.
Yeah.
Interesting. In that case, it's for sure suspicious. Okay, fair enough. The Maharal says a little differently. He says the issue is not Dibur versus Maisa. The issue is Yochid versus Rabin. The issue is that it's not logical she would have made the Rabin think she was a Nida if it was a lie. Do a Maisa, for a lie. He says it's not logical that she would lie to the Rabin. Why is it not logical she would lie to the Rabin? Because if she lies to her husband, then she thinks, okay, I'll lie to my husband. If I keep up the lie, I'll keep up the lie. And if I need to retract the lie, I'll retract the lie. Right? But if she lies, where's in the big day need it, all the neighbors see, that's like 100 neighbors who see. So she can't retract that. She's no way to tell all the 100 neighbors the whole story. And then what'll happen? The neighbors will see her touching her husband when she was just wearing her Nida clothes, and the neighbors will all think she's not from. Therefore, it's not logical that anyone would do that. Like, why would you want to lie to all the neighbors in a way that then they're going to think bad things about you when you could have just lied only to your husband? And then you would have explained yourself. So that makes a lot of sense, that she would lie to the Rabin when lying only to her husband would suffice. Right? These are the two, and therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, he says in this interesting case of, we have this minhag even nowadays that women are afraid of ayin hara when they get pregnant. I'm sure you've seen this. In some circles, they go very far. Even in our circles, I think usually when women are not showing yet, they try to keep quiet that they're pregnant to avoid ayin hara. I think that's the minhag in our circles. In some places, they go crazy, and the woman's 8 3/4 months pregnant, and she refused to admit that she's having a baby. She doesn't want an ayin hara. It seems a little silly to me. But that's the minhag. But in our places, like if people can't see, you don't tell them. Or you don't tell the rabbi because you're afraid of ayin hara. So there's a woman who kept having miscarriages late in pregnancy. She figured it was because of ayin hara. So she said if she hides her pregnancy, then she won't get an ayin hara. But everyone's going to notice if she's a nida or not. So she would put on her nida clothes and tell everyone she's a nida in order to fool them into thinking she's not pregnant so they wouldn't give her an ayin hara. So in this case, okay, then this, for many reasons they point out, this wouldn't be a problem. But the Shach points out that even if there were no other factors of Hakel, this shouldn't be a problem because here it's a good amasla. Like there's a reason she had to do a Maisa instead of a Dibur. And there's a reason she even had to tell all the neighbors. Because, otherwise her plan wouldn't have worked. So if you have a good amasla, you have a good amasla. It's all on a case-by-case basis. Of course, in that actual case of the Shabram Law, there were other reasons it was mutter, such as that she told her husband the plan beforehand. So there's a rule called Modah. If you tell someone you're going to lie beforehand, then you're not bound by your lie. So here, obviously, not to mention the fact that if the husband knows the truth the whole time, then he's the only one who cares, halachically. So, it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks. There's many reasons that case is mutter. Okay, I just want to weigh out something interesting, which is the Maharik. The Torah HaShlomim quotes the Maharik, but I'm not convinced that that's what the Maharik himself says. We discussed this with one of the fellows earlier. The Maharik makes it sound like the difference is this. Maharik sounds like, no, it's just a rule. There's a rule called Soklin V'Sorfin Al HaChazakos. We even give Skila and Sreifa based on Chazaka. What does Chazaka mean? Chazaka means you have to figure out exactly what Chazaka means. But perhaps Chazaka means if something is known to the Rabbin. Something's known to the Rabbin that is a Chazaka, right? What do they do? And we rely on that halachically. right? What do they do in the Rabbanot if they want to know if someone's Jewish, if someone's single, etc.? Okay, they go to their home community and they check with the rabbi. You know, what does everyone think? No, how do I know? I don't know anything, right? What does everyone think? And if all the rabbis know something, then that's a chazaka that it's true. So the Ma'arik sounds like, the Talmud Shlomo quotes as Ma'arik, but okay, he takes it in a slightly different direction. He wants to take the Ma'arik more in the direction of the Maharil, but what does the Ma'arik says? Even if the Gura Maslid explains what she did, she still doesn't help. Why? So if you look inside the Ma'arik, it sounds like the smart is because of a formal rule of Chazaka, not because the Gura Maslid is not logical, not because like it's her story is suspicious psychologically. Because it could be that once the Rabbin knows something, that establishes it as a Chazaka, and the Maslid is good enough to undo your own deeper. Or your own ahodah, or shabbi nafshkidilu, or etc. Masla is not good enough to undo chazaka. So the pashas, if you look inside the Ma'arik, if you want, sounds like maybe it is a formal rule that if everyone knows it's a chazaka, and an amasla can't nullify a chazaka. It can nullify your own hodah, but it can't nullify a chazaka. So it could be everyone, the mainstream way to look at it is as a sort of psychological analysis of whether her story sounds logical or not. But the Ma'arik might be more of a formal issue, and we're not going to pass it like the Ma'arik. But one thing that could very well be is if you look at the Dogel Mervava here, according to Beis Shmuel, it's also in the Piskei Tshuva. Hey, he says that if for 30 days she was machzik herself, then an amasla doesn't help. Why does Beis Shmuel think an amasla doesn't help after 30 days? So the Piskei Tshuva himself says, because it's a psychological analysis. It's not logical she would have lied for 30 days. You know, that doesn't sound logical to us. She wore the clothing for 30 days. She wore the clothing for 30 days, then she can't just say, okay, I was lying the whole time. She can count Shimon Akiyah and go for 7 days later. That's fine. But she can't just say, I was lying the whole time. Why not? So he says, it's just that the story's not logical. Why would you lie for 30 days? That's not necessary. Unless it is necessary. But I thought Pashup Shad Mishmuel is not that way. I thought Pashup Shad Mishmuel is that's a formal rule of Chazakah, because that's really what it says in the Gemara in Kiddushin. If the rabbin knows something for 30 days, you can even give Mises Bezdin based on that fact. What's an example? A husband and wife come to town. For 30 days, they act like husband and wife. Then she sleeps with another man. Even if we have no shred of evidence that those two people were married, they showed up to town. How do we know she was an Eish Zish? Nobody knows. We're going to kill someone because we think she's an Eish Zish? Yes, after 30 days, and everyone thinks in 30 days we kill someone. Or a mother comes to town with her son, and after 30 days, they sleep together. We say, don't you know your Sreifa? He says, what do you mean? We're not really related. That was just a game. No. After 30 days, your mom is killed. If the rabbin thinks in 30 days, you can kill someone based on that information. So I thought that was also shot in the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel was not going as far as the Ma'arik. Right away, it's not a chazaka, but after 30 days, it's a chazaka. Okay, so there is some oneness here. When we say a masla doesn't work, for Huchzga Nidab Shkim Seha, is that because psychologically the excuse doesn't seem logical? In which case, you'd have to look. Maybe sometimes it does seem logical. Or is it because a formal chazaka and there's no power to override a chazaka? So, there's a machlokas between what I think is Pshat and Ma'arik and the mainstream Pshat in one day. And in 30 days, the machlokas between Pshat and the Beis Shmuel. So, if you look at Beis Shmuel, it doesn't sound this way. And the Piskei Tshuva is Pshat and Beis Shmuel. Halacha l'maisa, Rov Poskim assume that it's all about what's the nafkamina. The nafkamina is obviously what if Amra l'rabim t'meya ani, then she'd be muteris according to the Rashbas. After all, if she just spoke, then that's logical that she would speak to lie. She'd be a sewer according to Amra. No, why would she tell everyone? She never tell everyone, then she's going to get a bad reputation. She'd be a sewer according to the Ma'arik. Or what if there is a good explanation why she fooled the public, then that would be muteris according to the Rashba. L'chor would be muteris even according to my Rav also, though the Achronim are a little hesitant. But it would still be Asura, according to the Maharik, unless she gave him a do beforehand, which formally can override the Chazaka. Okay. Again, the Maisa, this is not something that we're probably going to be called upon to paskin every day.
You
of course, people are a little more normal nowadays. What?
Don't say this is the same for other actions that we have nowadays. If the woman starts keeping all its meat on them, the same way if she actually starts separating the beds, if she starts.
Could be. Yeah, could be. But again, it's just, you know, it doesn't come up a lot. Like, the only stories I've ever heard nowadays of a woman saying she's a neder, acting like a neder, but she's not, is when she made a mistake. Okay, and that's a good amasa.
But the Maharik still, not neder, but in general, for Maisa, right?
Yeah, in general, but for Maisa, I don't think we'd paskin like him. Like, if you just tell the Rabin something's usher for one day, that's not enough to prevent an amasla.
But when you look at a community to see if someone's like Jewish or something,
that's for 30 days. That's 30 days, ain't a chanami. Yeah, the Marik's finished even less than 30 days. That far we wouldn't go. So if I was the rabbi, and you know, someone brought lots of witnesses that they lived someplace for 2 weeks and everyone thought they were single, I would not marry them. Not even longer than that. I mean, with modern communication, I would need longer than 30 days also, because you can always just call people for many decades. Okay, fine. End of the Ramah here. Says, Amra ploni chacham tir li kesem. That's basically the other answer of the Gemara there. If she says, Rabbi ploni told me this kesem was tar. V'achacham omra shim shakar. The rabbi says, what do you mean? I told her it was tummy. Who's believed? Normally, with Safra law, she's believed, right? If she would say, you know, Rabbi Ploni told me it was Tahar and Rabbi Ploni wasn't here, she'd be believed. But in this case, the Chachams believe that she's a Surah. Why? There's a special rule that when I am giving testimony, aid me, p8, I am telling you what someone else said. And that person contradicts me, who wins? Fairly logical rule. If Ruben quotes Shimon, says one thing, and Shimon himself says the opposite, Shimon wins, because he's the source of Ruben anyway. The Chacham wins. Chacham more Neman than the woman. Why? Because the woman's only quoted the Chacham. And therefore, he has to be more Neman, because he's the source of her information. This is a rule in Kol Tarkula. Again, I've never had a Shaila like this in Hilchos Nida, but it's a rule in Kol Tarkula. Whenever there's an argument, I quote you as saying Mutter, you yourself say Usser, you win, because you are the source of the information, not me. Okay, there's a big discussion in the poskim here. Would this be true for Dini Mamanus also? Would she lose her ksuba in this case? Or not? Like, is this only for Isur in the Chacham for Neman? Or even for Dini Mamanus, he's more Neman? Okay, Lamaisa doesn't really, it's a big machlok zachronim, and the Gra quotes different opinions, and it doesn't really come up lit maasa, so we will not pasken it. The Taz and the Shach points out, just give me a second, that it's only the Chacham who's Neman against her. It's not a stranger against her. She's Neman. So if she says, I'm not a Nida, and a stranger says she is a Nida, yeah, with good reason. Says, what do you mean, I saw your Bedika and it was red? But she's not quoting that stranger. Then she's believed more than the stranger.
That would mean a stranger is also quoting in the Chacham?
No. Either or quoting on his own. Or her own.
Her word she'll still be.
Yeah, either way, her word wins. Okay, so much for the issues of Nemonis. Yes, Effie.
The fact that the Chacham Omer Shimi Shakaris, does now she become, looks like as, like, can he not believe her going forward? Is that problematic? We're saying we believe the Chacham, maybe she was lying.
Pashtus, yeah, Pashtus. Okay, continuing to Sif Dalet. Sif Dalet is a new thing. Hayim Shami Shematahora. For Amr alone to make see. This is, okay, we all know this, right? This is the Mishnah in Shavuos. If he was Mishamish, a man was Mishamish with his wife while she was Tahora, for Amr alone to make see. And she says, I being tummy in the middle of Tashmish. Now, I'll admit, this is not something that I've ever heard coming up nowadays. Because women generally, like, could it be that a woman comes in the middle of Tashmish? Well, yes, yeah, statistically, it's got to happen sometimes, right? Meaning, you know, have all the men and all the women, and once in a while this probably happens. But she usually doesn't know in the middle of Tashmish because she can't feel it. Okay, the Achron discussed here, even in the old days, maybe it was hard to feel because she felt the Tashmish that was distracting. And like, she's not going to see the blood coming out, you know, in the middle of Tashmish. So this is sort of a rare case. Maybe in the old days they had better hargoshos. You know, they maybe they knew, but it's a rare case. It's more of a theoretical case. Yes.
I mean, even if it's just a mirror. I mean, even if she thinks it or she's not sure, and she just decides, hey, I think she says Amida, then that would also work. So.
Right, but it just like I've never heard of a woman feeling that way. I mean, she may lie, but we're not talking about liars, right? So I don't know if this is really so lemaisa, but let's see what the halacha is. Upirish miyad chayev kares. Whoa. If he withdraws immediately, then he is chayev kares. Obviously, he does mezid and chayev karban if he does it bishogeg. Why sheitzi aso hanalo kibi aso? Okay, I think this is scientifically a good fact. That the withdrawal is the same hana as the going in. Going out is the same hana as going in. And therefore, it's considered part of the bia, and he now did bia snida. Ketzi yasesh, so what should he do? Right? How does he extricate himself from this situation if he can't withdraw? It's only considered bia if he has a kishui. If the aver is erect, so what does he do? No, it's yiparne raglo baritz. He sticks his toenails in the ground, meaning he like lifts himself up a little to minimize contact with her. Of a shav lo disha, and he stays without moving in or out. Achiyamasa aver until the aver is mace, until it loses its erection. Uporish be aver mace, then he's porish be aver mace, and that's not considered bia. We pass it on shamish mace potter. It doesn't mean the person's dead. It means the aver is not erect, then he is potter, and therefore that's not an avera. Okay, and the Rambam adds, "V'imali pachad v'reses al aver shemalo," and he should be filled with fear and trembling over the avera, not physical trembling, mental trembling over the avera that came to his hand. Yismachal, and he shouldn't lean on her, meaning he should try to minimize contact as much as possible. Yismachal raglo v'yavshli enim, he should support his weight by his hands and feet to not be nene from kiru basertur as much as possible. Okay, let's just stop here for a moment. Is there any likely case that we would have of this nowadays where if the woman knows she became a nida in the middle of Tashmish, she knows. It's just unlikely that the woman would know she became a nida. It probably happens, but it's unlikely that she would know. So how could this case happen? Don't say the bias mitzvah, when the chassan kala first get married, there's dam besulim. So obviously in the middle of Tashmish she becomes a nida because there's dam for the besulim. Because we hold that dam besulim, that's not really dam nida midaraisa. It doesn't come from the makor. It just comes from a wound in the besulim, which are in the outside. And even though we were rabbanim, we're machmir, treated as nida, but there weren't machmir to have to stop in the middle. So would this case ever be relevant? So according to Chavos Das, yes, the Pesach Tshuva Yud quotes, what if they accidentally were together during the Veses? And all of a sudden in the middle, she remembers, whoa, we're in the middle of Tashmish, I just remembered, it's my Veses. We're not allowed to be in the middle of Tashmish now. So, says the Chavos Das, in that case, yeah, we're not talking about Nisadora D'Oraisa. I mean, except that. Yeah, we're certainly not talking about Vadeish D'Oraisa, right? But it's at least an issue to Rabbanan to be together during the Veses. So in that case, he has to do this whole thing and be porish and wait for the Aver to mace and then, etc.
Is it Veses in a Kavua and she really never knows, so then isn't that also possible?
What do you mean?
If it's never in a certain time, so.
If it's never in a certain time, no, but then they're allowed to be together if she doesn't.
Right, so then it could happen then also, not specifically if they made a mistake.
Oh, no, it could happen, but she usually won't, but nowadays she won't notice it happening. Okay. Here, maybe she just remembers the calendar. She remembers it's her best sister, not allowed to be together. So the Chavos Das says he has to do what it says in the Sif. However, all the Achronim disagree with him. If you look in the Crazy, I don't know if it's anyone in this book, but if you look in the Crazy Placey, it's on the Bar Ilan. Who's the Crazy Placey? It's a Perish on Yoridea, not only in Hilchos Nida. Like the Crazy in places, like the long part and the short part, like the Urim Batumin, right?
It's the Yaris Dvash, from Yonos and Eichitz. It's actually, he wrote, the Urim B'Tumim is on Choshe Mishpat. You might have noticed that Sivas always says if it's written in the Tumim, the Urim is the short first part, the Tumim is the long part. So Yonos and Eichitz, Urim B'Tumim, Kreis Uplasi, it may not be Pshuto Somekra, but we know the Medrash says Kreis Uplasi means Urim B'Tumim. Of course, in Devarim Shimu Flon B'Devarim. Anyway, so that's so he argues also the Lechem Simla, which is the Perish, also Lechem and Simla is like they all are like short maskanas and long yunim, like the Hosda says here in Urim and Kedushin. It was a style of writing. Is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Perish and Hilchas Nida and many others form arguing the Lechem Hosda. They say not true. They say if you all of a sudden remember it's your Veses, they weren't so machmir like this sif that you have to be porish be'ever mace. Because it's not a real Isser D'oraisa. It's only a chashash midrabanan. And therefore, we don't paskin like this, Chavos Das. We paskin that if all of a sudden they remember their Veses, he should just withdraw immediately. He shouldn't finish the time, continue the tashmish, but he should withdraw immediately, and he doesn't have to do what it says here. He can just withdraw immediately in the normal fashion. Yitziyasa and Ola Kibiyasa. Okay, but since it's only a chash, then we'll assume that she's probably okay, and just be kind of lahaba, he won't resume the tashmish. Okay, so we don't possibly like that Chavos Das and Piskei Tshuvos of Katan Yud. The Ramah continues. He says, what if the guy didn't know this halacha? You can imagine a lot of people don't know this halacha. It would be a little peculiar for someone to not know this halacha, right? Because they learn the Shnayas. They come across it in the Sefer Shavuos. But, okay, some people didn't learn Mishnayos, and didn't learn Gemara, and didn't learn Shulchan Aruch, and they don't know this halacha, so all of a sudden, she knows she became a nida in the middle of Tashmish, and is porish in the normal fashion, and therefore, he was over in Isser Karis B'Shogeg, because he didn't know the halacha. So what does he have to do? So, Yis'an Arbarm Yom, whoa. Now, this is not only for this case. I mean, what if someone violated Isser Nida B'Shogeg, right? What's the din of someone violated Isser Nida B'Shogeg? So once upon a time, the answer was very clear. What was the answer once upon a time? It brings a karma chatas. That's for doing a sukkaris b'shogeg. Okay. Maybe soon again. But nowadays, there's no karma chatas. So what do you do instead? So says the Ramah that this is not, doesn't say this in the Gemara, the minute felt. You fast 40 days. Fast in 40 days instead of karma chatas. Not literally. If the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt the next day, you still have to bring karma chatas. But it means, like, Beit Hayim, given that, you know, if the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, then fasting 40 days counts. The answer to the Oster Tufa doesn't have to be 40 days in a row like the Muslims in Ramadan, who fast, you know, I mean 40 days in a row, 24 hours, during the daytime. He means 40 days during the daytime, not the nighttime. Right? Doesn't have to be in a row. Ra, kol shavua shnei yom kol shnei yom. Do it, like, every Monday and Thursday, you know, for 20 weeks. And some of them farshim even say it's better to not do 40 days in a row, but to do Monday and Thursday for 20 weeks, because that way it gives you more time to process your tshuva. In the nighttime, you don't fast in the night, you only fast in the day, but you're usher in meat and wine. The Piskei Tshuva quotes the Torah of Shlomo and wasn't sure if it means the night before or the night after. Anyone know how we paskin and bring me a proof? Is it the night before that you shouldn't have meat and wine, or the night after?
Afterwards, right? Tisha B'Av really permitted.
Exactly, Tisha B'Av, even if Tisha B'Av is on Asar B'Av, like this year, right? So we don't keep Avelos afterwards, but we still don't have meat and wine the night after. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah paskins in Simon Shin Lamed in Hilchot Shabbos. He says it means the night after. There he's talking about someone who did Hilchot Shabbos, but show me. It's not Hilchot Zdiyah. So, it's just fast for 40 days, and the night after, don't have wine and meat, because having wine and meat right after fast is disrespectful to the fast. And if he can't fast, he's not healthy enough, then he should just give tzedakah instead, in accordance with how much money he has. And it's good to be extra machmer in the tshuva. And the more you do, the more zechuyos. But in this case, if the man, the woman says, I'm an Ida, and the man withdrew right away, so they both, when it comes to Isurei Bia, they are transitive. If the man's doing it, the woman's also doing it. So the man and woman equally didn't have Eira, but the woman doesn't need Tshuva here. Why? Because she's Anusa. He's a Shogeg. He didn't know the halachas withdrew the wrong way. But she was just lying there not doing anything, and she had no choice in what he did. Therefore, it's not her fault. She doesn't need any tshuva. If you're an ones, you don't need any tshuva. What's another example of ones? If their tashmish not during vesis, in a mutter time to have tashmish, right? And afterwards, she finds dam. Even if she finds dam on his cloth, he wiped himself down dam. Why is that so chummer? If he finds, because if she finds dam in herself after tashmish, maybe it only came after the tashmish. Who says it was there during tashmish? But if he finds dam on his aver after tashmish, he doesn't menstruate. Where did the dam come from? You know, unless he happens to have cuts on his aver, you know, a very unlikely scenario, then obviously it came during tashmish, otherwise how did it get on him? So then it's like a proof that they violated the Isser Nida. So what happened if they violated the Isser Nida? The answer is, nothing happens because it wasn't time in the Vesses. They were allowed to be together. And what are they supposed to do? Right? They're not, they don't know the Kodesh. They don't know the future. And therefore, Mikri Ones. They're an Ones, then. They don't have to do anything. They don't need any tshuva. It's not their fault at all. Right? We saw this in last week's Parsha. Right? Afilo Bad Katrila, even if she didn't check beforehand, because we Paskin are meaning you don't have to check beforehand. They didn't do anything wrong. They don't need kapara lo'olohi. They don't need any kapara at all. Okay, the principle is very clear. I don't know if I want to cover every detail here. The principle is very clear. If someone's amazed, that's a big, big, big avera, and Ramban doesn't even tell you what to do about it. What if the Pesach Tshuva wonders if there's a common case of amazed here, right? What if she didn't tell him that she became amazed in the middle of Tasha, is what she knew? Maybe that's considered amazed for her, onus for him. Mazed for her. She knew she was in need to say anything. Although he's Masopic. It could be, we say, in the middle of Tashmish, like, it's not totally your fault because you're not in control. Lemaisa, said there are two cases, common cases, Shogeg and Onos. Shogeg, you need Kapara. And Onos, you don't need Kapara, you didn't do anything wrong. Okay, you see these very long Pesachei Tshuvas goes to all different examples as to what's a Shogeg, what's an Onos. I'm pretty sure all the examples are common sense. Like, basically, onus is if you didn't do anything wrong. And shogeg is if you mistakenly did something wrong. So we're not going to go through all the examples now. Okay, so much for Simon. Kof pei hei. Let's go to Simon kof pei vav. Okay. Din bedikas isha bein lifting tash lifting la'achar tash. Sif aleph, I don't think we have anything to say about because what? Why don't I have anything to say about Sif Aleph? What? Yeah, because we already learned it, right? Isha sheyesh laveses kavua, ein atzricha b'dika klalo lifting tashmi lo la'achar tashmi. Remember, that was the opinion of almost all the Rishonim, right? She has veses kavua. Obviously, during her veses, she doesn't do any tashmish. When it's not her veses, she assumes she's clean. Doesn't mean b'dika. But adrava, ein lo livdok lifting balo shas tashmish, she should live on nokvo. She shouldn't do b'dika when her husband's looking. You know, in the presence of her husband around the time of Tashmish, Shemi Libo Nokfo, the Ramah said that earlier, but here we see that she's Machaber Zol. V'ha Rambam Zal Matzer, Libduk Acher Tashmish, He Be'id Echad, V'hu Be'id Acher, V'lurus Be'em Shem, Rasa Demishas Tashmish, Lo Daito, Atzno, Spoken Osam, Atzvarav Kodim Tashmish. Okay, these are two of the three opinions we mentioned earlier in Simon Kuzbe Dalid, that according to Rambam, even though she has a Veses Kavua, when it's not the time of the Veses, and it's unlikely she get her period, nonetheless, they both have to check themselves afterwards to see if Dam came during Tashmish, and Sinuos, Mahadrin, she would check herself beforehand also. How do we pass? The Svar Rishon is the Iker, V'chein Nahagu. The Svar Rishon is the Iker, and that is the Minhag. Okay, so that's the Minhag, that if she has a Veses Kavua, then there's no Vedikos at all around the time of Tashmish. She do b'dika during her vesis, but not at the time of Tashmish. Okay, but that we already learned. So let's move on to Sif Beis. Im ein lo ves kavua, what about a woman who doesn't have vesis kavua? So here you have a ambiguous Gemara. And daf yud beis amud beis. Right, that's where it all starts. Daf yud beis amud beis. Sorry, I'll just turn. There's a machlokes. By the way, remember from Sif Aleph, that the Mishnah said, all women, no matter what, have to be bedikas every morning and every evening and at the time of Tashmish. And what did the Gemara say that Mishnah was talking about? Asuma Taros, women who deal with Taros, meaning the time and place of Taros, right? Meaning only in Eretz Yisrael, right? And Bava Levi didn't have Taros because of Tomas Eretz Ha'amdin, so they were Tomei anyway. But nowadays that doesn't apply. And that's where we saw all the Rishonim say, if you have a Vesses, it doesn't apply at all. No Havamina of Bedikos. The Rambam was an outlier. He said, no, what it means is that it doesn't apply that you have to do Bedika beforehand, but you still have to do it afterwards. Okay, we pass like the other Rishonim. That's, how about a woman without a Vesses? So a woman without a Vesses, the very strange Machlokas, on Dafid Beis, where Meir says a woman doesn't have a Vesses, you can't marry her, because you're always afraid she's going to get a period. We definitely don't know a pasuk like that. What does the Rishonim and Antigonos say? She uses two cloths at the time of Tashmish. Hein if Zua hein Tiknuva, they will mess her up or they will fix her. Meaning, if she finds Dam on them, they will mess her up and make her a Nida, or perhaps even make her a robot as Tashmish, we'll see. And if they're clean, then they fix her. Okay, not 100% clear exactly what he means, but why they fix her? What does it mean they fix her? We'll see in Machlokes. But clearly, he says, one thing's clear. We're not sure what the two Edom are. Are they one for her to check herself beforehand, one for her to check herself afterwards? One for her, one for her husband? Right, to check himself afterwards? Okay, we're not sure exactly when they fix her, but one thing we're sure about. Rav Chanina ben Antigonos says she needs to be Bedikos around the time of Tashmish. Right, if she doesn't have a Vesses Kavua. Let's continue. So how do we paskin? So, Amri Yudor Shmuel Halacha Rav Chanina ben Antigonos. The halacha is like Rav Chanina ben Antigonos. She doesn't have a Vesses Kavua, like most women nowadays, she has to be Bedikos at the time of Tashmish. Mara says, what do you mean? What's the case? Iba asuka v'taros. Then Shmuel already said a different time that Allah is like Rav Chanina ben Antigonos. If she's not asuka v'taros, Shmuel already said she doesn't have to do bedikos. Because the Amar, Zeyar Amar, Rav Chanina ben Shmuel, Ish she'im ha'vesa asur l'shamish achetivdo v'akinol asuka v'taros. He says she has to do bedika before Tashmish. And that's why I'm asuka v'taros. So let's see the two maimers of Shmuel. One maimer of Shmuel was, let me remember who was quoting Shmuel in each one. The first one was Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And the second one was Rav Zeira Amar Arbar Yirmiya Amar Shmuel. So what did Rav Zeira Amar Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar Shmuel, which is the second, say? He said that Asuka Bitaros. Shriha Livdok. Here we're talking about Isha She'ein La Veset. Right? She's no Ves Kavua. Eina Asuka Bitaros. Eina Shriha Livdok. Okay, that was pretty clear. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. What does Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel say? He says, halacha ke Rav Chanina ben Antigonos, which means shricha livdok. Okay. What is the question? So what's the Gemara's kasha? Gemara's kasha is why does Shmuel have to say the same thing twice? There's a rule of the Amoraim, don't say redundant maimers. Why do you have to say the same thing twice? So what's Gemara's answer? Man de masniha, lo masniha. The one who taught this didn't teach this. Meaning, it's a machlokas Amoraim. You think all the Amoraim agree that Shmuel said both of these things? No, Reb Zera Amir Abba thinks he only said that statement. And not this statement. Reb Yehuda thinks he only said this statement, not that statement. And that answers the kasha. Okay, the problem is there's a little ambiguity. We said, what was he talking about? Asuka b'taros or not Asuka b'taros? Right? And we never actually answered that question explicitly. So what are the two pshatim? Rashi brings two pshatim, and he likes one of them and doesn't like one of them. We're not going to answer the reasons why you would like or not like one. Here says Rashi Perush Rishon, which he likes. He says that this is talking about Asuka B'taros. Only if she's Asuka B'taros. In which case, the two maimers are saying the exact same thing. Man de masliho de masliha. How can they say the same thing? Okay, they each had a different masorah about the same thing. In which case,
They are the relationship between these two mamrels are that they are redundant. Oh, how could they be redundant? It's a machlokas which one he said. It's the same thing. It's not a machlokas in din. It's just a machlokas. Did he say it in this lashon or did he say it in that lashon? Because he wouldn't have said the same thing in two formulations. Right? He couldn't have said two redundant things. He only said one of them. I hold he said this one. You hold said that. They say the exact same thing. Only if I sue the Mataros, right? But if not, then she's Petura. Okay, said the exact same thing, and it's redundant. Man, who do we paskin like? Who cares who we paskin like? They both said the same thing. One said, I heard him say it in this words, and the other one, I heard him say it in that word, those words. That's Rashi's first shot. Then Rashi has a second shot, which he rejected. He says the second shot is wrong. But obviously, what did Rashi didn't say? Rashi's job wasn't to go around saying, every time I have a shot of the Gemara, let me think if there's another wrong shot I can tell you. You know? No. He knew other Rishonim gave this shot, so he quoted it, but he didn't hold for it. So it's Machlokes Rishonim. Rashi says, I heard two shotim, one of them I like, and one of them I don't like. But obviously, someone held that shot. So what's his second shot? He said that no. Afilu eina asuka bitaros. Sricha livto. No, according to this pshat, Rabbi Yehuda or Shmuel said, whether she has suka bitaros or not, she has to check. And what's the relationship between these two mamros? It's a machlokes. Man masni hodo masni ha. Whoever said one didn't say the other, so it's a machlokes. Rav Zera, Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shmuel says, nowadays when there's no taros, she doesn't have to check. Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shmuel said, even now, there's no taros, she still has to check. So you could read the Gemara in two ways. So Rashi, there's many reasons why he thinks the first is the right way to read the Gemara, the second is the wrong way to read the Gemara. But, yeah, there are two possibilities. Is it that, because all the Gemara says is, man masni hodo masni ha, whoever holds one doesn't hold for the other. They don't say whether the problem is that they're redundant or that they're contradictory. Okay, now, if it's a machlokas, you have to know who we paskin like, right? But it could be that it's a machlokas, and we pass like a Yehuda Rashi, like the more machmir position. In which case, we pass that nowadays you need a bedika. That is the machlokas Rishonim. Now, let's put the machlokas Rishonim on the board. You know what? Could someone just take this board so I could erase part of it? Someone volunteer, I'll pay you back for developing the film.
I don't
know
if I have net minus for uploading
this camera. Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam. Yeah, don't worry, I don't fall for this trick. This is the, you know, husband breaks the dish the first time his wife asks to wash dishes trick. It doesn't work.
About the second time.
Even third time, it doesn't work. Okay, so now the question is, how do you paskin, right? So according to, how do you paskin? According to the first perush, or perusheni, imtum tzolomar, dekaimalan, ke rabzeira, then Bizman Hazeh, Eina Tricha Livto. Right? That's how Rashi paskins. Okay, Beis Yosef makes a machlokes Rishonim or Rashi paskins, but 90% of all everyone agrees with Pashim Shad Rashi. It seems to be clear as how he paskins. But according to the Perusheni, if you assume the kind of one, Kirav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, then Bizman Hazeh, so now the question is, how do we paskin? And here you get funny things going on in the Rishonim. Almost all Rishonim thought me svara like Rashi.
Which?
What? Rashi was making a Pirush Rishon. Right? So for example, Rashi and most Rishonim Ashkenaz. So who holds this way? Rashi.
quoted Reis Yosef quote, he quoted the Smag, he quoted the Sefer HaTruma, the Rashbam, and the Re. Sefer HaTruma. Basically all the Bali Tosos, right? The Re, the Rashbam, meaning Rashi and Tosos. They hold like the first Perush, Bismanazed is no problem. And all the Rishonim were leaning towards saying that. The Rosh really thought that made the most sense, and the Ramban and the Rashba thought that made the most sense. But they weren't willing to be Makel. Why weren't they willing to be Makel? Because there's some big names on the Machmer side, right? So, you know, the Rosh and the Ramban and the Rashba leaned this way, right? They really thought that way was more logical. However, who are the big names who say no? Even as man is a Yerchayev, man masi holo masi yotza machlokes, and we paskin even without Taros Yerchayev. Rabbi Yochanan was the biggest name. The Rosh was afraid to mess with Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. The Rosh says Rabbi Yochanan called her Divrei Kabbalah. Not meaning mysticism, meaning tradition. Rabbi Hanano was one of the main conduits of the Torah of the Gaonim going to the Rishonim, says, I can't mess with Rabbi Hanano. Who's on this side of Rabbi Hanano? Who else is on this side?
Rosh.
Okay, but who, like originally?
Rambam.
The Rambam, very clearly. The Rambam, you know, remember, even if you have a mess, that's the Rambam of the Chayim, certainly, you know. And Lechora, the Rif. I know the Shach is now going to be mad at me. Right? But Pashtus of the Rif. Pashtus of the Rif. Pashtus of the Rif says that, who am I to say with Pashtus of the Rif? But the simple shot that most people thought was shot in the Rif. Whatever. It's Machlokas, what of the Rif. But the simple shot in the Rif is that he says, I explained this in Ksubos. In Ksubos, you pass it like Baruch HaNeba and Tignos. That's what it sounds like. And obviously he's dealing with without Taurus. The Rif is writing for Bismanazeth. The Rif is not writing, say, for the old days or the new days. Okay, now, who jumps on this bandwagon? The Rosh says, I'm not going to mess with the Rebbe Yochanan. The Ramban and the Rashba say, okay, halacha l'maaseh, we'll pass them like the Rif. So many Rishonim, as you see, many Rishonim ended up being Machmir. However, when it comes to being machmir, you have to ask, what does it mean to be machmir? And now, if you're going to be makel and say there's no bedikos, you don't need any details. But if you're going to say you need bedikos nowadays, then you're going to have to ask two questions. Number one, what are the two edim? Right? Mishameshes, what was his lashon again I said? Bishnei edim. By the way, it's not edim, witnesses. Even though, I don't know, maybe there's some remez to it, it's edim, which are, which are cloths, right? It's a Tanakhi sense, beged edim. So she uses two cloths. Okay, it could be there's also a hint of witnesses there. You know, sometimes they use lashon, no full lashon, but the pashup shot, Rashi says, in a few places, I don't know if Rashi says it here, but Rashi says in a few places in Shas, that the pashup shot of the word edim is cloths, not witnesses. Rashi here says it means cloths, but elsewhere in the Seches Dita he gives the Makor and Shas. So two questions. Number one is, what are the these Shnei Edim? What are the two cloths? So there are three opinions here. Says the Rif. He, acharkach, and who acharkach? She checks afterwards, and he checks afterwards. Those are the two cloths. In which case, interestingly, according to the Rif, what are we worried about? We'll see this again. It's not that we're worried that she's a nida now, that I'm tashmish. We're worried that we don't know that she might be raw machmas tashmish. We're worried that Tashmish might cause her to see, since she doesn't have a Vesses. So afterwards, they have to both check. Says the Rush, nah, he doesn't have to check. That's going too far. No, why does he have to check? Let her check. If there's blood, it'll be on her. So says the Rush. Oh, I got this right. He lifne, and he acharka. She has to check before him, and she has to check afterwards. Okay. I think I got that right. Yes. And says the Rambam, he says, who says that two cloths means two checks? Two cloths means three checks. One cloth for her, where she checks before and afterwards, and one cloth for him, where obviously it's all the shot to check afterwards. Nothing to check for him beforehand. Says the Rambam, he lifne ve'acharkach, and who acharkach. So it's two cloths, but it's three checks. Three bedikos. Okay. So that's a sort of more technical machlokas, exactly who has to check when. The more lemaisnik machlokas is, what is hain ivsua, they mess her up, the hain tiknua, they fix her. What does it mean these checks fix her? On the one hand, you would say, what does it mean these bedikos fix her? Ah, every time she checks, if she's clean, she's okay. Right? But is that really fixing her? That's just checking. So I think it's because of the lashon of fixing. Some of the Rishonim are redaic. What does it mean they fix her? It doesn't just mean they check that she's clean. That's not fixing. So what would you say? If you're saying, how would they fix her? What? Okay, so the chesed until she checks. Or what does the riff say? The riff says,
she's establishing a chazaka.
She does it three times, and then she's fixed forever and doesn't need to check anymore. Right? The riff says, after all, what are we worried about? It's not that we're worried. What did I just tell you in the riff? It's not that we're worried that she's a nida right now. No, that we're not worried about. We're just worried she might be romach was tashmish. So if she checks three times, and she's not romach was tashmish, that's a chazaka. So here's the, this is obviously the much more lemaisnik question. Haim tiknuha. What does that mean? So one shot is kol bia ubia. Every bia, her whole life, she needs to fix herself by checking. Who holds that way? The Rambam and the Rush. And the Rush. They say, what do they need? Fix her? Every time she needs bia, she needs to fix herself by making sure she's okay. However, you could say no. Gimel pa'amim. Fa'az hufsika beheter li'olam. It means they fixed her. She does it three times. And if she finds blood three times, she's messed up. Now she's ro'amach was tashmish. She's mufsak to bleed during tashmish. And if she's clean three times, like 99.9% of women, then she's good forever. She's fixed. She has a problem. She fixed the problem. This is the riff. And the Ramban, and the Rashba.
Another one checks every beer for their whole life.
What?
Another one checks every beer for her whole life.
Yeah. The Timonim still do it.
Really?
I asked the Timonim person once. Yeah, he said they still do it.
But like 15 minutes before and after, right? Not like...
Why 15 minutes?
No, Libunokfo.
What is it? No, the Rambam doesn't know Libunokfo. That's us, not the Rambam.
Wow.
Yeah.
Doesn't
the Rambam says that's only referring to a woman with a veses kavua. But if she has no veses kavua, then what do you mean libo nokfo? You're a schit. Libo nokfo is if she has a veses kavua, then we remember libo nokfo because you don't need your schit. She has a veses kavua. What are the odds? She's a veses sheino kavua. Every day she could get her period. Are you going to say libo nokfo? What, you don't care about halacha? You don't worry about libo nokfo. There's a real chash and a veira.
How does these three times help on one act? Like, this is just one scenario.
And it's like this. Some women, bia makes them bleed from the mucker. Yeah. Right? The hormones somehow. So if three bios, she checks if it caused any bleeding, and it didn't, then she's mastered herself.
Three different ones.
What? Three different bios. No, I don't mean the three checks of one bio. I mean three times three bios. No, three bias. She has bia on this week, she has bia, next week, she has bia the week after, and she checks each time, and that's a chazaka, that she's not growing up with tashmish. right? And then the chash is obviously only bro machmas tashmish. So, let's see how we paskin.
Sorry, who says three times? The Rambam says each time, every time?
Every time your whole life.
And who says three times?
The Rif, the Ramban, and the Rashba. Yes, Ramban, no. Now, let's see how we paskin. Let's see how we paskin. So, let's read the Shulchan Aruch, right? That's a good way to see how we paskin. Says the Shulchan Aruch, so phase. Im ein lo veses kavua. Shalosh pa'amim ha'rishonim tzricha livdo kodim tashmi akar tashmi. Okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, first opinion, which is a big debate in the Achron of which opinion the Shulchan Aruch paskin is like, but the pashtus is that he paskin like this first opinion. L'maisa, that's how Sfardim are milvig. Don't confuse it with Teimanit. Right, came in and followed the Rambam, Sfardim followed the Mechaber. So the Mechaber is going to bring more than one opinion. Lemaisa, Sfardim assume that the first opinion is the main opinion, because the first opinion is said not with the name, the second opinion is said with the name. So it's like a stambi yeshomrim, and he means vas like the first opinion. So that's what Sfardim do. Tricham livdo kodim tashmish acher tashmish for three times. So let's see the what color haven't I used? Yes. Okay. This is Mechaber opinion one. Right? Only three times. He's not making like Rashi and Bali Tosfos. You have to do it, but only three times, and then you're good for your whole life. Hu be'eit shaloh v'hi be'eit shaloh. Kodin tashas v'akar tashas hu be'eit shaloh v'hi be'eit shaloh. Before and after, so says the Mechaber. Before and after. Here they are going to wonder if he's passing like the Rif, it's only to check for Roach's Tashmish, then why does she have to check beforehand? Meaning, we're not worried she might have gotten her period, then she'd have to check her whole life. It's a little bit of a mismatch here. You would think if you pass it only three times, just check after Tashmish, the blood came during Tashmish. Why do you also have to check before Tashmish? So it's a machlokus achronim. Anyone want to give me a hesber? Why you should also check before Tashmish?
She could have had a cut.
Right, or she could have gotten her period before, she thought. Right, so one explanation is as a kula, meaning as an etza tova. After all, what if she finds blood afterwards, but she was really just became an etza 10 minutes before Tashmish? She's going to think she's Ramach was Tashmish, which is terrible, means she can't ever sleep with her husband again, when really it was just bad luck that she got a period 10 minutes beforehand. So therefore, as an etza tova, to not have a false positive or Ramach was Tashmish, we have to know what says in Kupay Zayin. What does it say? It says that if for three times she finds she bled during Tashmish, she now has to get divorced. Because now she's muchzak that when she sleeps with her husband, she bleeds and it's an isser, so she can't sleep with her husband. So that's terrible. So therefore it says, it's a tova, check beforehand. Because if you find your tmeo beforehand, you'll avoid thinking you're wrong about Tashmish. Some people say it's a tova, other people say it's what's called migo. Meaning, really, you don't have to check before every tashmish, just stam out of your estate. But since you have to check afterwards, then they're also mentaki, you should check beforehand. If maybe you're checking afterwards, you might as well check beforehand as a chumrah, just to make sure you don't have your period. Okay, but either way, you have to check beforehand and after. That's Machaber's first opinion. Etc. Okay, if three times she's clean, clean before, clean after, right? Or at least, I guess if she finds blood beforehand, then she won't be mishamish. Wait till next time. If three times she's clean afterwards, then she's good her whole life. Because now she's the cheskes, ain't a raw mach was tashmish. And what's the chiddush here? Since she doesn't have veses kavua, we're afraid her veses might be tashmish. Maybe it's tashmish that makes her bleed, not a day. So she checks three times to make sure she's not. Second opinion, Ula Ramban Vararash calls Mancha in Laveset, Srihi Bidigali Olam Kodim Tashmi Akar Tashmish. Okay, second opinion of the Mechaber is, according to the Ramban Vararash, she always needs Bidika before Tashmish and after Tashmish. For Ramban Matzah, she's going to Baal Yibdu Gatzmach and Tashmish. The Ramban says not only her before, her after, also the Baal after. So, okay, let's put like a double arrow. The Mechaber, in his second opinion, says it's always. Always, but how many checks? Well, according to the Rosh, her before and after. According to the Rambam, her before and after, and him after.
Let's read the Ramah. The Ramah here adds details of ancient and lived Gatman Akha Koltashma Shatashma Shaosum Laila Achas. They don't have to check themselves after each tashmish they do in one night. Well, that's not really what he means. Ella, the kanchos on called Laila Be'edel Machar Tzrichim Bedika Be'matzadam Be'matzadam Tzvea. He doesn't mean they don't have to check themselves before and after each tashmish. He means they don't have to turn on the lights and check the aid before and after each tashmish. They have to check themselves before and after. Let's say they have five tashmishes in one night. They have to check themselves before and after each tashmish, according to the Rambam and the Rush. But they don't have to turn on the lights and check the cloth. They can just use a cloth, check themselves before and after each tashmish, and if in the morning they see the cloth is dirty, then it will be a problem. And according to Rambam and the Rush, if you check yourself before tashmish and lost the aid before she turned on, before she looked at it, she just checked herself again. And obviously, it doesn't count as a bedikah if she didn't look at the aid. That's pretty straightforward, commonsensical. Okay, it's interesting. Sarko no amim diet for the Ramah that we hold like the Ramah and the Rush. It keeps expanding on their opinion. However, that is not a mekubala. The poskim, not the minhag olam. So let's talk about what the minhag olam is. But before we talk about the minhag olam, whose shita do we have to mention? Whose shita do we have to mention? The shach. The shach is, this is a great shach. Yeah?
So that point that the Ramban just expanded on, so if they have three tashmishes in one night, or the first three, that Shishim looks like us to not be Ramah Mastam?
I think so. You know, it's not clear if he's modifying the first opinion, but I think so. Yeah. Now, the shach here, notice which two opinions were brought in the Machaber. Oh, the opinion that the whole life thing, every bia, which I say the Teimanim still do. I don't necessarily mean all the Teimanim. There are different Eidot in the Teimanim. Some follow more Rambam, some follow more Shulchan Aruch. What happens is the Teimanim always follow the Rambam, and then they were always disconnected from the outside world. Then all of a sudden someone came in and brought all the other Rishonim and all the other Masoras to Teiman. And then the Teimani community split a little. They're called Shami and I forgot what they're called, I apologize. They were two groups of Teimanim. Some of them said, we're sticking with our old ways and always following the Rambam. Some of them say, no, we're like getting with the program, joining the outside world, and we're going to follow the same thing, more or less, that the other Jews follow, meaning Shulchan Aruch, etc. They all said the same machlokes in philosophy. The ones who follow the Rambam and Halacha say we're going to keep following more Nebuchim in philosophy. And and the ones who moved over to the Shulchan Aruch and Halacha said we're going to start following the Zohar in philosophy. Says, you know, that's what the other Jews do. Okay, they're a different group. But at the very least, many of the Teimanim still do the Rambam. The Mechaber brought down the Rambam Rosh opinion your whole life and the Rif opinion that three times the beginning of marriage. One of the Mechaber not quoted all and the Rambam not quoted all. The opinion of Rashi and the Bali Tosfos, who says you don't have to do it at all because we're now Sekhas Bataros. The Shach went ballistic on that. The Shach said, and this is very bold, the Shach is, two things you know about the Shach. Number one, he knew all the Rishonim backwards and forwards. He also had a good library, like he had access to all the Rishonim. You know, there are no printed books, but he had Kisvei Yad of almost all the Rishonim. And he was not afraid to argue with anyone. He says, you're all dead wrong. Because the Rif agrees with Rashi and the Bali Tosfos. You understand? Once you move the Rif, that changes everything. Because then you go back to the Ramban of Rashba, who said, we would have been Makel, but you know, the Rif paskin already. What do you mean? He said, the Rif never paskin. The Rif agrees with Rashi and Tosfos. No such thing. Already, once you move the Rif to the other side, then it becomes pretty clear. So what do we add to this? Rif, Lefi, Shach, and the Shach pointed out that he wasn't the only one. In the Ravid interpreted the Rif like him. He didn't make up the Shach. I mean, he doesn't think he made up Shach, if he thinks it's the obvious Shach and Rif, and everyone else got it wrong. But Shach the Ravid. Okay, he is the Yukim in the Rif. How come the Rif only put it in Ksubos? Not in Hilchos Nida? By the way, what was Sechel that you find the Rif in on Nida?
Shavuos. Right? There's no riff in the back of Nida. You want to find the riff in Nida, you go to Masechet Shavuos. Why is that? It's because the riff decided he wasn't... the riff decided he wasn't writing on Taurus. But in Masechet Shavuos, it talks about this inyan in the beginning of... And at the end of Kuf Behei, about Sevu Osasa Shabanida. So we threw it all that you want to find a Ran about Hochas Nida. You look in Masechet Shavuos. Anyway, why do you put in Ksubas? So you see, we don't have to do this because of Hochas Nida. It's only something that comes up when you're discussing whether the husband and wife have to get divorced or not. That's why it's in Ksubas. Okay, a few other people come the Rif. Says the Rive in the Shach. Of course the Rif passed and you have to do Bdika three times. But, and here the Shach has two possibilities. The main possibility, which he also said he found the Rive it, is that, you know what the Rif means? He doesn't mean everyone has to do it three times. It's actually quite logical. Like, Mehechitesi, she's a Roma Achus Tasha. So I understand, she doesn't have a Vesis Kavua. Seder, she doesn't have a Vesis Kavua. Okay, why do we think, it's a very rare thing, I never met anyone like this. Why do we think that Tashmish causes her to menstruate? That's not a common thing. It says, of course you don't have to do three times when you first gets married. That's crazy. What did the Rif mean? The Rif means, if once she found blood after Tashmish, now we're ready to the big latest asafik whether she's a Roma was Tashmish or not. Was it? She once found blood after Tashmish. So, is that coincidence? After all, I mentioned statistically, right, if you're good at math, figure how many Jewish men and women are there, right? How many Jewish couples are there, and how many bios do they have? And once a month, every woman gets her period. And so it's bound to coincidentally, someone's going to have bad luck at some point and get their period during Tashmish. So it's a coincidence, or is she developing a problem of Roma Achos Tashmish? So then you have to check three times to be Avar Mitzias because you have a latest HaSafik. That's what they say. They say the Rif didn't mean you always have to do three times, that you have to do three times. The Rif just meant if you get into that situation, you have to do it. He says, only have to check three times if you find blood after Tashmish once. Only if you find blood after Tashmish once. Otherwise, you don't have to. Okay, now that the Rif is Mekel, says the Shach. The Rif is Mekel. Now, I'm making the Rabban and Rashba Mekel, because if they properly understood the Rif, they would have been Mekel. Now, if the Rosh properly understood the Rif, he also would have been Mekel. I knew the Rabban Hananel. If he knew the Rif was against Rabban Hananel, he would have been Mekel. So basically, everyone was Mekel. Okay, so the Shach is Mekel. That is the Psach of the Shach, Halach Lamaisa. Not only is that the Psach of the Shach against the Mechaber, he says, the Chin Am Advar. I think that's the Menigolim. I think the Menigolim is to be Mekel. Shach says you don't have to do it at all. Okay. Nowadays, what's the Minhag nowadays? Agav, by the way, there is a... Let me point out one other thing. I apologize. In the Mizrahi Chus, we've got Beis. He brings a Machlos in the Chavos Das and others, the way he quotes it is not exactly what it sounds like inside the Chavos Das. I don't know, in mine, it has like a Ha'or on the side. Hagelsa always says that's not really what the Chavos Das says. The Chavos Das says that it doesn't have to do a full Bedik Achorin of Stuck and checking all the cracks and crevices, just a Kinuach, just a basic wipe. Not to go inside and do a full Bedik, just a wipe, just a basic wipe. So he says, what do you have to do? What are these bedikos? Just a wife. That's what the Tehmanim do. They just do kinuach. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. Lamaisa, most Achronim disagreed with that and says you need to do a full bedika, just like during the Vesses, just like during Shiva Kiyam and Hepsik Tara, etc. It needs to be full bedika, all the cracks and crevices. That's how we assume. We assume that if you need to do it, you need to do a full bedika. Okay, so do you need to do this or not? So here we have a machlokas. Again, some Tehmanim follow the Rambam every via for their whole life. That is not the shita of anyone else. Here, there are different minhagim nowadays. Some follow Mechaber and say the first three vias after you're married, you need to do it. We'll modify that at the moment. And some follow the Shach, say you don't need to do it at all. Or Moshe has a tshuva, they use Moshe.
where he says he thinks the ikra din we could hold like the shaf, although it's proper to be machmir, so he doesn't give it clear, you know, he doesn't give a clear hadracha there. It sounds like if you want to make it like a shaf, you can, but he prefers to be machmir. The Pesach Tshuva quotes a bunch of Achronim who are machmir, like the machaber against the shaf. The Torah of Shlomo quoted that right here. Here it is, the very long Torah of Shlomo, but he says, Ein lahakel negib saka machaber. We can't give makel like the shach against the machaber seems to agree with machaber. Unless it's a machaber bidding with lahakel. Lamaisa nowadays are different than hagamari. Well, it says you can pass it like the shach. And therefore you don't have to do it. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a pretty universal minhag that everyone passes like the machaber. I never heard of anyone in Eretz Yisrael following the shach. So there are different minhagim nowadays. Now let's just clarify for a moment. Let's just make it more complicated for a moment. If you'll allow me, and then I'll come back to bottom line. Gimel, the famous Trumas Hadeshim. We have to read Sif Gimel. Says the famous Trumas Hadeshim. Isha she'ena roa pachos mi yodal yamim achar tvilasa. What about a woman who never sees less than 14 days after Tovah? Let's say she Tovahs after 12 days, so she never sees less than 26 days, right? Or whatever it may be. Meaning, she has a partial kvias. Aval ach yudalad yom eim lakeva, ad yudalad yom, eim lakeva, sorry, but she has no kvias for exactly when she'll see. She just knows, she has like a time she never sees, and a time where it's random. Ad yom yudalad yom dinik ni ish yesh lo beses. During the time she never sees, she's like a woman who has a vesis. This is called a half vesis or a trumas adeshin vesis. The Mokra, this trumas adeshin, it's not found in Gemara. Trumas adeshin says it be spark, but it's a good spark. She never sees less than 26 days. So after 26 days, it's that she has a vesis, because she never sees less than 26 days.
Negative vesis.
A negative vesis, exactly. Says the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, it's not on the page here. Says the Chassam Sofer, this is going to affect the three bedikos. Says, who has to do the three bedikos? Read the Shulchan Aruch. Not a woman with a vesis, only a woman without a vesis. Right? Sif Aleph didn't say to do bedikos the first three bias. Only Sif Beis did. So let's say a woman, this is very common nowadays, a woman will say, I never get my period less than 32 days. So until 32 days, she's like a woman who has a vesis. And she's exempt from these three bedikos, the first three bias. After 32 days, she's like a woman who doesn't have a vesis, and she's chayiv in these three bedikos, says the Chassam Sofer. Okay, so until 32 days, she's pater from the bedikos, the first three bios. And after 32 days, she's chayiv in the bedikos, the first three bios. Okay, all the poskim accept this Chassam Sofer. It makes it very complicated to do the bedikos, the first three bios, because according to this Chassam Sofer, based on the tradition, Gimel, what are the first three bias? It's not the first of all, it's not the first three times they're together. Why can't they start this on the wedding night the first time that they're together?
Because
there's for sure blood, because of the Damasur, right? So they don't start the first time. How about the second time? Poskim say they shouldn't start the second time either, because maybe there'll still be Damasur left. They shouldn't start until they know they're clean from Damasur. So the first time they'll find Damasur, right? The second time, they won't do it because they're still worried, but they won't find out Masula. Fine. By the time the third time comes, so then they'll have to see where she is in her calendar. If she's at the time of the month where she never gets her period, then let's say, you know, I don't know, it's like mikvah night. You know, it's been 12 days since her period. Obviously, 12 days, she's kavua, that she won't get a period 12 days after her last period. Or 13, or 14, or 15, or 16, or 17, or 18, or 19, or 20, or 21, or 22, or 23, or 24, 25, or whatever it may be. His example up to 25. So any bias in that time are considered a woman who has a vestis kavua, and she's part of these three bedikos. Part of the three bedikos means even if, three times, right? It's really nine bedikos. Three bedikos each of the first three times. Means if she doesn't, it doesn't count. Pater means she's not yotze, right? We all know in halacha, if you're pater, you're not yotze. Right? I'm not Yotze if I do something when I'm Potter, only when I'm Chayef.
So therefore, it won't even count to you. So when can she do these three bedikos? Only during the days when she might get her period. Now, of course, finally when the days come, she might get her period. Maybe she'll get her period, and then she won't have pasture and won't be able to do the bedikos. She'll wait until next month. And it could, you know, so next month, you know what? It came the days when she might get her period. She did one of the three times, and then she got her period. Okay, and now what happened next month? Okay, maybe she says a lot of siyat shmaya. Next month, she's pregnant. What did the Pesach Tshuva say? It's a Dalit. If she's pregnant, then she's potter from these three bedikos. Because she's Mesulekas Damim. It's better than a Vesta school. If you're pregnant, for sure you won't get your period. And then she's nursing. And remember what we say nursing meant? Didn't mean nursing. It meant
2 years
up to 2 years after. So, you know, so it could take many years till you get these first three times down. And a lot of thinking, right? So it's very, by the time you get through all the details, it gets very complicated to do these bedikas the first three times. So, given that, it's complicated to figure out the three times to do these bedikas. And I bet most people do it wrong anyway. And, right, Willy Poskin's like the shach that you don't have to. So, I think we can teach the Hasanic that they don't have to do these first three times, like the shach. Oh, it's against the Harvard Arma. Okay, it's like the shach. So, I think we teach them like the shach, that they don't have to do the first three times. However, then I made Aliyah, I moved to Eretz Yisrael. All of a sudden, come to Eretz Yisrael, and all of a sudden, people start yelling at me. They say, that's against the minhag in Eretz Yisrael. Apparently, in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is not to pass like the shach, to pass like the mechaber. So in Eretz Yisrael, I tell the Hasanim to do the first three times. Ah, what does the first three bios mean? Means you have to think it's complicated. The first three bios, when you're not pregnant and you're not nursing, and there's no dam basulim, and it's not the time when you would never get your period. It's the time when you might get your period, and obviously you haven't gotten your period, otherwise there would be no bia. Okay, so you might have to like keep those kashbonos for like a year, or 5 years, or depending on your fertility, till you finally get those first three times down. Okay, that's right. So in Eretz Yisrael, I defer to the Minhag HaMakom. In America, I pass like my Rebbe Willy, and that just you don't have to drive yourself crazy.
The shock thing that being Rav Nachman's Tashmish is something that can develop.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So that is Halacha L'maaseh. Let me see if I can put that on the board. There are three main minhagim, right? So the Teimanim do like the Rambam. Minhag Eretz Yisrael and some in Chutz La'aretz follow the Mechaber. And some people in Chutz La'aretz follow the Shach. Again, Rav Moshe equivocated. He says, we hold like the Shach, but it's good to be Machmer, somewhere in between. The problem is that it's so unlikely that people are going to get it right. And Lamaisa, I think that in Chutz La'aretz we can pass like the Shach. This is the Psak of Rav Willig. He's sure that we should pass like the Shach, no question. And then we get an interesting, here's the interesting question. What if someone changes their mind midlife crisis, they change their psak, right? Let's say they move to a different place, or they get a new Rebbe, or go to a new shul, and they change their psak. So if originally they pass like the Mechaber, and then they move to Young Israel of Riverdale, where Willie tells them to follow the Shach, so okay, what's the big deal? They did B'dikos, their first three bios, or some combination of three bios in the right times, the right place, etc., when they were first married, and maybe they didn't have to. Okay, it doesn't hurt. What if someone passed like the Shach and then changed their mind and decides to pass like the Mechaber? So here is interesting machlokas. The Shevet HaLevi was Mekel, right here, and a few other poskim. You know what? If they've been married for 5, 10, 15 years, and they never did these three bedikos, and then all of a sudden someone tells them they have to do these three bedikos three times. Three bedikos, I mean, three bedikos on three veals. right? I don't mean three bedikas in one deal. Someone tells them they have bedikas in three deals and they've already been married for a number of years. Says Shiva Levi, you know what? By now, even though they never did these three bedikas, they would have noticed if they were real machlas hashmash. And just being married for many years and never noticing any problems is good enough to be machzik you as a real machlas tashmash instead of the three deals. So says Shiva Levi, the Baal Shulchan disagrees. He says, no way. They've married 15 years, and all of a sudden, someone tells them to pass like the Mechaber, they have to do next three vios. But the Shevet HaLevi says, nah, if they've been married many years, and that's good enough. Halach l'maisa, I think we should pass them like the Shevet HaLevi, which means that, let's say someone originally passed like the Shach, and they didn't, or they just didn't pass like anyone, you know, they just never heard of this. And they didn't do bedikos when they were first married for three vios. And then, years later, someone tells them they have to, we can be makil and say, you know what, the Shevet HaLevi says that it's good enough that you have many, many years without any trouble, and that's also machzik you.
So he says like 5 years?
He doesn't say, he says a number of years. I don't remember the exact question.
What do you think is the number?
It's a good question. What's the cutoff? I'm not sure. I wish I had a question here. What?
The number of actual deals.
The number of potential ones. Right, that's an interesting question. What's the number of potential deals? Who knows? You know, maybe if someone has a lot of kids, they can be married 20 years and only have had two eligible deals. There are people like that, right? There are probably people who, I don't know, they reach menopause and they haven't had enough. You know, meanwhile they reach menopause, meanwhile they've had 17 kids. And there are people who have 17 kids. You can't try to have 17 kids, meaning you have to have special siyata d'shmaya, not just a desire. But there are people who, like, as soon as they have one baby, they have another baby, you know. Okay, but, you know, most people don't have that much siyata d'shmaya. You know, most people, they have, it takes them, on the average, it's supposed to take you a couple of months to have a kid, no matter how hard you try. It doesn't happen every time. Bit seder. If a person is on birth control pills, then b'chlal, this isn't going to be shayach. What do you mean? Birth control pills, like, there's a certain time of the month when you're for sure not going to get your period, and then a certain time when you for sure are going to get your period, and it's like, k'vias shebe k'vias, like, no shayachas at all of this. So then, that also deletes everything.
The woman starts out having a vest k'vua for many years of her life, and
moves to Eina Kavua. Then, according to Machaber, she now has to do bedikas the first three bios. Yes, interesting case. What if she was always Kavua? She was always Kavua, and then all of a sudden stopped being Kavua. Why would that happen? I'm sure there's good logical reasons why that would happen. Then, according to Machaber, according to Shach, obviously, you don't have to do anything. According to Machaber, let's say all of a sudden she's 32 and starts becoming irregular. Who knows why? I'm sure I can think of a gazillion reasons why. Or if I was a doctor. Then she would have to, the first three eligible bidikos, have to do these bidikos according to the Chaver. Yeah, it's a good case. That is halach l'maisa in this India. So in America, I think we should make like the Shach. Okay, in Eretz Yisrael, pushback. I passed him like the Chaver. Someone makes aliyah and they say, the many years like the Mechaber, but you already married a few years and you never noticed anything, that's good enough. Rely on the Shevet HaLevi. Any other questions on this inyan? Let's just read Dalaman. Yesh lo adam laniach zisho shetivdo be'ed shalo mitosh ne'menes al shalo ne'menes al shalo. A person can allow his wife to check his cloth, meaning she checks herself with the cloth and looks at the cloth. He checks himself, wipes himself with the cloth, and let's say it's dark. So she's going to go to the bathroom and look at her cloth. Can she also take his cloth and look at it? So he says, of course, she's trustworthy. If she's trustworthy in her cloth, she's trustworthy in his cloth. It's all the same answer. In Ras, this is a segue to Kofte Zayin. In Ras, Adam Achuz Tashmish, Shalosh Farm Ritzufim. If she sees Dam because of Tashmish three times in a row, Asur l'shamish l'olam l'sobal. She can never sleep with that husband again. These verses from Shacharzim will explain that. Same means very hard. Ramach was tashmish is a big problem. You wonder, like, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? why is the rift so afraid of Ramah Vas Tashmish? It wasn't because it's so common, but it's because it's so bad. Meaning,
with him or
what?
It's with him.
It's with him. But if it then happens to a second husband and a third husband, then it's with everyone. That'll be the next simon. So if three times in a row she finds that she bled during Tashmish, she is now in big trouble and has to get divorced because she's muchzak, that whenever she sleeps with her husband, she is anida, so she can't sleep with him anymore because then she'll be anida and it'll be an aveira. So that's why it's very chumra, and that's what the next simon is going to be about.
I don't know how unorthodox this sounds, but why don't we have some sort of makel that doesn't need to look or do it or have via over a dark clothing thing?
You go to Esther Hotel.
Aha.
Yeah, good. I don't know if that's just coming out of the love.
Okay, good question. Here's the problem is the Shach's Diuk. What's the Shach's Diuk? The Shach's, first of all, I can give you two answers. Number one, what if she happens to notice? And if you'll say, tell her not to notice. Okay, but what if she happens to, or he happens to? Or he happens to. But there's another answer. The other answer is what the Shach said. What did the Shach say? The Shach said that if it happens once, then they have to start looking for that, because it's the latest hasafik. So, right, but the Shach says, you have to do three times to begin, and that's not what the Rif meant. And it wasn't only the Rabbi also interpreted the Rif this way. He says, it means if you notice it once, then you have to check the next three times. So, Shach would say, you know how this could happen, because you notice it once. Really, it's be four times. Because you don't have to look. But if you notice, happen to notice it once, coincidentally, then you have to start looking hard, because there's a latest hasafik, and then you'd be in trouble. Okay, we'll figure out what to do about that. I'll just preface. The Lemaisa, what should a woman do if she's finds blood after Tashmish was Amazeh? It could be Romachus Tashmish. Or it could be coincidence, right? I mean, coincidentally, someone's bound to get their period once during Tashmish somewhere in the world. Obviously, it wouldn't happen three times if it was coincidence. That would be like a gazillion to one. Or it could be a maka, right? Maybe it would be a pattern, but it's not blood from the makor, from the uterus that's coming out. Maybe she just has some cut or something in the beis achitzon, and the friction of the tashmish, you know, I don't know, like breaks the scab and causes a little bleeding, and it's not done needed at all, and it's not anything. Okay, that's what the next simon is going to be about. If she is Romachos Tashmish, how do you tell if it's really Machos Tashmish, or if it's a Maka because of the Tashmish, but not Damnida, or if it's coincidence and has nothing to do with the Tashmish at all? That's what's in the next simon. I'll tell you, Bisman Hazeh, it's not Shchiach Tev Romachos Tashmish, meaning real Romachos Tashmish. It's not Shchiach, the doctors will tell you that you don't really find a woman who Tashmish causes blood to come out of the Makar. That's not Shchiach Bisman Hazeh. However, because it's hard to prove one way or the other, we'll see later on, if a woman does find blood after Tashmish, so if she's like, well, it was a day before my period, it was a day before I vesses, and it probably came a day early and I just had bad luck, then okay, try next time. If it's like, I don't know, like maybe there's something wrong, but the something wrong could be a maka, or if it happens twice, then she should really go seek medical clarification for what it is, before it happens three times. So once it happens three times, she's in a bad halachic state. She's a chesed sister already. So we'll see later on that what you do nowadays, a woman says, I've had blood after Tashmish. So you have to use your judgment. It happened once, and you have a pretty good guess that it's not going to happen again, that it was circumstantial and will repeat it. Then you say, okay, call me if it happens twice. If it happens twice, when you're close to a big problem, or if it happened once, but like for all you know, it could happen twice. Then you should say, look, this is a very serious thing. It's not just about, you know, your status now. It could be a very chomer halachic issue, and you should really try to get clarification scientifically as to what's causing this, because you don't want to get into halachic trouble. And, you know, if you batriach yourself to find out, you can usually figure out that it's not real Roach Tashmish, which is not so shkiach nowadays, but you can't just say, oh, I don't think it's Roach Tashmish. You have to follow the klolim that are set up by the Shulchan Aruch, the next simon, based on the Gemara. Okay. Did anyone get past here in Hachana? No. Okay, great. So we will pick up, Amir Tz Hashem, continue next time. You should know Simukuf Bezayin is not only important for Roman Tashish, it's important for many, many, many Shilas nowadays. It's like one of the very, very important Simonim, because it also has the rules of, if you find blood, how do you know, halachically, how do you prove if it's from a Makkah or from a Nida? And that's a very common Shilas nowadays. Yeah.
And that's all, folks.